Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Connie Bennett. I would like to welcome you and let my music welcome you as well. I am playing with some interesting music. Hello, this is Connie Bennett. I hope you're enjoying my introductory music, which seems to drown me out. I would like to welcome you to another Stop Sugar Shock radio show. Today I have a really wonderful guest. His name is Peter Kay. He is a health and fitness coach, and like me, he has a show on Blog Talk Radio. Peter, just say hi really quickly. Glad to have you.
Connie, it's a pleasure to be here. Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you just fine, and
great.
I think our listeners can too. So, Peter, I will be back with you in just a minute. So I would like to update people on what is going on in the world of sugar shock. As I assume those of you who read my blog know, I've been very, very active with telling the world about the dangers of sugar shock because of Halloween. So we had a whole bunch of people running around, I'm sure millions in this country, going through some real sugar shock reactions. And my goal, as I saw it, was to offer all kinds of tips and pointers to help parents before their kids went into sugar shock and even afterwards. So if you would like to learn more about that, you can go to my blog, which is www.sugarshockblog.com. I always begin this show, or at least when I do have time, talking about some of the news of the week. And it looks like sugar-powered batteries are actually being developed. They are going to be developed by Sony. And apparently this sugar-fueled battery can power a music player and two speakers. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to use sugar. I like the idea of that versus putting this stuff in your body. If you did not hear my last week's radio show, I encourage you to check it out. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/stopsugarshock. And I had a really fabulous time with two women who I've now dubbed the Amazing Andrea and the Dynamic Donna, and that is Andrea Beeman and Donna Sonkin. They're both holistic health counselors. And we talked about ways to take better care of yourself during the holiday season. And so we had a lot of fun with the show, and I think that they presented some really wonderful, valuable information. A little bit more really quickly, for those of you who live in California, I am on my way to California. My family lives there, so I'm going to, of course, do my Thanksgiving thing. But I am going to be appearing on two radio shows in L.A. and one for the San Francisco Bay Area and two in San Diego. And this is all happening in late November, right before Thanksgiving, and one after Thanksgiving. And that's obviously 2007. So, Peter, I'm so sorry to take time for my announcements, but
no problem. It's important stuff, Connie.
So anyhow, I wanted to talk about, I thought people might find it interesting how you and I connected, because you also have a popular show on Blog Talk Radio, and why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your show?
I will. I have a show called The Peter Kay Show on Blog Talk Radio. I've been doing it for many months now, and I love doing it. That's how I met you. I'm actually Blog Talk Radio's fitness director. And I've been on board almost from the beginning and seen Blog Talk grow and attract great people with great topics and products and services like yours. So I found your website. I was surfing one day, and I saw your show was featured. And I said, you know what, this is great, sugar. I talk about sugar all the time to my clients. I'd love to read the book and get more information. So I reached out to you. You were a great guest on my show, and now I'm on your show, which is
payback.
Great stuff. Great stuff. And now I know I read your blog, and I know that you were on Dr. Oz's show, and then he came on your show. So it's just a great medium, I always say. to interact with great people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, what have you found having a show on Blog Talk Radio has done for you?
You know, it's given me, the first and foremost, it's given me a platform to share the things that I'm passionate about. Like you, you know, you want to save the world from sugar shock. I want to help the world get into the best possible health for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Blog Talk Radio is a great way to do that. And what it also does is, you know, when you meet someone, you say, hey, I'd love to have you as a guest on my radio show, all of
mm-hmm.
a sudden, you know, it gets their attention. So it's been a great way to network and connect with people and to bring them on the show and then do great things like meeting you and meeting other great people.
Yeah, no, I found the same thing. It's been a wonderful excuse to have on some, you know, fellow authors and, you know, people who you really admire.
Yep.
And it's been a way also to learn something. You know, one of the things that I've liked about having the show is I've decided that, well, I'm not always going to focus on sugar.
Right.
I get to talk about other things, too, which, in fact, later this month, golly, we have a political show coming up.
That'll be interesting.
Or that's next month with Doug Weed, and he wrote a couple of really wonderful books, All the President's Children. And then we have a relationship show coming up as well with the renowned relationship expert, Dr. Barbara DeAngelis. And then next week we have the famous fly lady. She's on the 20th, so it's a great opportunity to talk about other things.
That's great. I'm honored. I'm in good company.
Okay, so you're going to tell us 5 secrets that you may not know about exercise.
Right, and I want to, before I go into that, I want to tell the listeners that if I had to say, you know, my background very quickly is I'm a nutritionist, I'm also a physical therapist and a fitness consultant, and I created something called health coaching, and I coach people on how to get in the best possible health for them, whatever that means for them. And so I coach people on nutrition, on exercise, on mind-body success. And if I had to put the two together, eating and exercise, I'd have to say that 80% of success, of health success, is based on eating. So that's where you come in, Connie, and that's awesome because you're helping people with sugar. But today we're going to talk about exercise, which is the other 20%. But don't, just because I think it's 20%, that's my personal opinion, by the way, just because I think it's 20% of the health challenge or battle, doesn't mean it's not important. And on top of that, people who actually are exercising are doing things incorrectly, unfortunately. I've seen in my personal experience and my experience with other health experts, quote unquote, that people are exercising wrong, if you want to get simple about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come up with 5 secrets, 5 things that people probably don't know that they should know about exercise. And I'm just going to go down the list, Connie. And the first one is cardio. Most people who exercise just do cardio. And you know what I mean by cardio, Connie? I don't know if you, I'm going to assume.
Right, I do, of course. But go ahead and tell people who don't know about cardio.
Great. And I don't mean to insult anyone out there, but you never know, and I want to make sure everyone has a clear understanding when they walk away from the show.
Yeah, well.
Cardio is getting on the treadmill or going out for a walking and elevating your heart rate, basically,
mm-hmm.
and doing that for a prolonged period of time, whether it's 30 minutes or 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you out there have seen someone get on the treadmill, you've seen them at the gym week after week on the treadmill for an hour at a time and not see any results in their body? Maybe they're not losing weight, their waist size isn't shrinking. That's one of the major goals that people, you know, go to the gym for. They want to lose weight, but consistently they're not. So the problem is they're doing all cardio and not enough of the other stuff. And the other stuff is resistance training. And resistance training is just using some type of resistance against your muscles. It could be as simple as a squat, Connie. It doesn't have to be anything amazing. You don't need special equipment. You don't need a gym even. You can just basically squat. You can do push-ups. I'm going to talk about those
mm-hmm.
in a few minutes. But if you're out there, if you're a listener, and you're just doing cardio, you're just getting to the gym to do your cardio on the treadmill, or you're doing it at home, it's not enough, and you need to do more. So that's the first secret. Do more. And here are the 5 components that you should have in your exercise routine. One is cardio, of course. The other is resistance, and we said that's just moving your body against some type of force. It could just be gravity. Using your core, that's all your abdominal and back muscles. Using something called intervals, which is that's basically training, going from one exercise to another in a rapid mode without resting.
Mm-hmm.
And then something called sprint, which gets your heart rate up and then it gets it to come down. Those five components should be in your fitness program. If they're not, and they should all be in simultaneously, by the way, you shouldn't do them separately. If they're not, you want to definitely change something about your fitness routine. So if you're not mm-hmm. seeing results, it's probably because you're doing the wrong type of exercise, even mm-hmm. though you're doing a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two is we need to be doing exercises that we can do anywhere. Most people, the statistics are that about 14% of the population belongs to a gym. And that's not a lot, right? You'd agree.
14%.
Those are the statistics nationwide. Of those 14%, a small percentage actually get to the gym on a regular basis.
Actually use the gym.
Yeah, actually get there. I mean, you pay your dues and you don't show up in gym.
Actually use it.
They love you for that because there's more room for someone else. So the gyms aren't working for people. They never did, and they never
unless
did.
You're near them.
What's that?
Unless you live near them, I've discovered.
Yeah, so convenient. And like I said, it works for a very, very small percent of the population. The rest of us, and myself included, I don't like the gym. I don't belong to a gym. And I still
You do not belong to a gym.
I don't, and I still consistently stay in the best shape of my life.
And you're working out where? In your living room?
Anywhere. I could work out in my basement, in my garage,
uh-huh.
in my yard, and outside. It doesn't matter.
That's very interesting.
It's very powerful, right?
Huh.
So this
and I like the idea of working out while you're watching TV.
Yeah, that's a great idea because you kill two birds with one stone and hopefully you're watching something that's motivating and you get an even better workout. And even if you don't, you're just doing something productive with your time and you can still
yeah.
watch TV.
Harvey Walden IV, he was talking about, you know, working out in front of the TV.
Yeah, it works if that works for you. I like to listen to great music because that inspires
yes.
me. And that's another way that people get in the mood, so to speak. So there's five exercises you can do anywhere, and you don't need any special equipment. I'm going to run down the list. These are pushing exercises, so you can do push-ups. You could buy yourself a $20 resistance band and push it,
mm-hmm.
you know, attach it to something. So that's number one. Number two is pulling exercises. You can do chin-ups, or again, you could do something with a resistance band, or you can just pull against a fixed resistance if there's a door that's closed. Just pulling on that door, believe it or not, is enough to build.
So make sure the door's sturdy.
The door's got to be closed, and no one could be inside playing games with you, so you got to watch out about that. Number three is squatting. Like I said before, a basic squat. Now, you won't see this stuff on the infomercials because you can't sell it. You can't sell a squat, really, unless you attach some $300 piece of equipment to it. But human beings squat all day long. So when you train that way, you'll see better results, meaning you'll build more muscle. Having more muscle means you'll burn more fat. And
well, I'll tell you one of my little secrets that I do in terms of squatting. So most people use like a traditional mop for their kitchen.
Yes.
I have one of those kitchens. It's a white floor, and it gets dirty all the time. But what I do is I take a paper towel, and I squat, and I clean that kitchen.
How perfect.
And I know it's not, you know, it's not that much, but this floor gets dirty.
Right. So you're doing it all?
You have to do it at least every day. I'm not obsessively clean, but it's a disgustingly dirty. And so I'm constantly doing these squats, and I'm like, you know, one day it dawned on me, well, you know, this is actually good exercise.
Good for you. Are you one of those people that vacuums yourself out of the house every day?
No, I don't. I need to buy a new vacuum cleaner.
Right. So.
But I like pushing, pulling, squatting.
Squats, and then lunges.
Lunges.
Lunging is reaching for something with one leg at a time down on the floor. You're doing that all day long. And the last one is something called diagonals, reaching up into the cupboard for something, reaching down low to pick something up off the floor. Those are diagonals. And in the physical therapy world, when people suffer strokes, we work them in diagonals so that they could train their brains again to interact with their environment. You don't mm-hmm. need to suffer a stroke to work in diagonals. When you do it, your body will build more muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's push, pull, squat, lunge, and diagonals. And again, let me stress, when you train your body in this way, your body will respond because it recognizes these movements as being basic, and it wants to build more muscle so it could do these exercises better, safer, and more effectively. So does that make sense? So your body starts to build more muscle.
No, this is very nice. Now, and I like this idea, though, of, you know, you're saying, okay, don't even leave the house, you know, is that you can be doing your errands or your household chores or, you know, even do them in a different way and do all and come and put all five of these in there. For instance, you can push, you know, I don't know, whether it's a box that's in your, you know, in your place. You know, people are now going to be pulling out their Christmas tree ornaments or whatever.
Right.
You know, they're squatting to move things, and what you're saying, like lifting up into a cupboard or, you know, I don't know, lunging to the other side of the living room,
yeah.
Doing
creative.
Something.
Creative. And have fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can develop some creative ways to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've created these everything I'm sharing with you now is something I created called 5 Minutes to Fitness.
Well, I was just going to ask you about that. Tell us about this 5 Minutes to Fitness.
So 5 Minutes to Fitness is really... it's a reverse psychology because people hear it and they say a couple of things. One is they say, 5 minutes of fitness, that's ridiculous. You can't possibly accomplish anything. But I'm interested to listen because if you can, I'll do it. Okay, so it sets up an emotion in them. And it's really 18 years ago, I was almost 60 pounds heavier, and I promised myself that I would get on the, you know, a Stairmaster? I would get on a Stairmaster for 30 minutes a day until I lost the weight. Now, I got on Stairmaster the first day, and I lasted for 5 minutes, and I thought I was in shape. So then, you know, successful people adapt their goals. I said, okay, 5 minutes a day until I could build up to 30 minutes. And that's really 18 years ago how 5 Minutes to Fitness started. And it's working. It segues actually into number three, the third secret people don't know about exercise, is working in intervals. We could do almost anything, Connie, for 5 minutes at a stretch, right? You can walk for that long. You could do some simple exercises around your house. You can get on the treadmill. 5 minutes is really not much. So when you start with five, like let's say, Connie, I said, you know what? Tomorrow I want you to walk for 5 minutes. You get all your stuff on. You walk outside. What's going to happen when you're done with 5 minutes? What typically happens with people is they end up walking for 10 minutes or 20.
Yeah, you generally want to go for longer.
Yeah, but... here's the beauty of it. Our brains are so highly evolved that they'll believe almost anything we tell it. So if you say to yourself, you know, I'm really busy today, I got so many things to do, but I'm going to exercise for just 5 minutes. You get out there for the 5 minutes, guess what? You'll be out there for 20 minutes, which is all you need, and it's a reverse psychology, and your brain believes it, and it makes extra time. If you approach your fitness and your health in the other way and say, well, I have to do at least an hour or it's not effective, well, guess what? Most people don't have an hour to commit to exercise. I don't very often on many days.
Yeah.
But I've got 5 minute intervals. So that's where it all came from. And people have been able to succeed in health where before they couldn't because it was too much to take.
Well, I'd like to share another thing that works well for me. So it's something I even did today, which is that, so today I didn't make it to the gym. Because I came back from out of town, and I had, you'll find this interesting,
yeah.
I had about 40 minutes before this radio show, and I had not worked out, I hadn't done anything yet today. Well, I have a new cell phone, and I lost the charger, so what I decided to do was to go get a new charger. Well, I had to walk about 15 minutes to the store to pick up the charger. And then I had to race back from the store to come back in time to do the show.
Right. So Blog Talk Radio is getting...
And so as the time is nearing and I'm like looking at my watch, I had to pick up my speed.
Right.
So in that half hour, I got a very nice, you know, I was walking very, very briskly. I got a nice little workout. I still plan a workout later, but it was just, I was... You know, I needed to get my endorphin exercise rush. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
I do get a kick out of that because walking, as you know, is one of the best exercises that humans can do.
But my thing is, you know, if I have an errand to do,
yeah,
and I can plan that I'm going to go walk to my errand, even if it's, you know, 15 minutes there, that's 15 minutes there, that's 15 minutes back, I know I have to be at a certain place. So you're going to have to pick up the speed. Plus, you know, I was locked into walking.
Well done. Good for you. You could have hopped into a cab, but you decided...
I could have hopped into a cab very easily.
Well, I admire you for that, Connie.
But anyhow, that was kind of a fun thing. Well, I do need to say this, and, you know, I applaud you for your five-minute approach, but I assume you're aware of Jorge Cruz's 8 minutes in the morning.
Yes, I am.
Approach.
Right, which I think is another good approach. Whatever gets people, and, you know, some people think it's gimmicky, but it's not. I happen to know Jorge's program. It's not gimmicky. It really works when you apply yourself. The fact of the matter is any physical activity adds up. And it doesn't have to be formal exercise. It could be gardening. But having said that, be careful, because I have people every day who approach me and say, like school teachers seem to tell me this all the time, Peter, I walk up and down the halls like a madman all day long, like a mad woman, whatever. And that's a lot of exercise, right? And then my response is, yes, it is, if you're seeing the results that you want. And if you're not, then you need to do something more. That makes sense to people when I say it that way. So be careful of diet fads. Be careful of exercise gimmicks, because there's more of that out there than good, sound advice. The fact of the matter is you do need a catchy name to get people's attention first. So that's where that comes from.
Okay, so to do this, pushing, pulling, squatting, lunging in diagonals.
Yes.
What equipment do you need if you're just going to do it at home? We're talking exercise bands, jump ropes. What else?
You could use a jump rope. Just be careful. Start very slowly with that. Jump roping is one of the best exercises you can do. So resistance bands, you can go to a website called performbetter.com.
Oh, I think my fitness trainer told me about that.
Yeah, I'm not affiliated with them in any way, but they sell a great $20 band that you could attach to any doorway. It's so simple, so inexpensive, and compact. You could take it everywhere. And that's really all the equipment you need, and you just need your body. And if you move in those directions, hire yourself a trainer or send me an email, and I'll show you how to do the workout. But have someone include those movements in your routine. And then number three was do it in intervals. Do the exercises in five-minute intervals. So go from exercise to exercise for 5 minutes. That'll get your heart rate up. And then take a minute break and do another interval. Do that for 20 minutes. And if your heart rate is up, and it will be when you train this way, you can exercise for 20 minutes and get a better workout than if you did an hour of cardio, because you have done cardio and you have built muscle at the same time. Does that make sense,
mm-hmm.
Connie? So you've got a 20-minute workout where you had an hour, you're getting better results. So as you're sitting, typing, doing any type of work, you have built more muscle, so your body becomes this fat-burning machine. It starts to burn calories all day long. That's what we mean about having a good metabolism. You need muscles to have that. And I don't mean bulky bodybuilding muscles. I mean beautiful, long, sleek, strong muscles.
Now, are you aware of what Gary Taubes has been saying about exercising and losing weight?
I'm not.
Do you know who he is?
I don't.
Well, he is a well-known author. It's a brand new book that came out called Good Calories, Bad Calories. And he is saying that exercising does not help you to lose weight. It's been quite provocative.
Yeah. Well,
quite provocative information.
Right? Now, he's got to quantify that. And I have no idea what the book is, but what I think
it's a fabulous book.
Yeah, good. Where I think he might be going with that is what I first said at the beginning of the show. People are just doing cardio. And I'll give you another example. When you're on the treadmill for about an hour, you're burning maybe 500 calories. And then you go out and have a bagel or you have some bread.
Right, that's what he was saying. It makes you more hungry.
Come right back. So you're back in the hole, so to speak. The way people succeed with exercise, and you will when you exercise this way, is doing those five different movements that build muscle. That's the secret. And that's why I said exercise is important, but you've got to do it the right way. Otherwise, you're spinning your wheels,
mm-hmm.
and that author is correct if that's the direction he's going with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, and I'm not sure if I should bring it up, so I guess I'll just put you on the spot.
Go right ahead.
I am in the process of beginning a Stop Sugar Shock Inner Circle membership program. And the basic membership is going to be where I answer questions from people once a month, and we have a teleseminar. And then I'm going to be adding a fitness component to it. And I was actually talking to some fitness trainers, so I'm going to have to talk to you after after we get off to see if you want to be involved in that.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting, Connie.
Yeah, it's actually going to be very, very exciting, where we'll, you know, be sending out inspirational messages and some tips on things to do that day. And so we're going to be adding the fitness component on top of the other.
I'm so glad you're doing that, too, by the way, because it's not, you know, you've got the food angle covered, which is, I said, 80%. You do have to have the fitness component.
Right.
And that's truly complimentary, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm actually talking to some fitness trainers now, so that would be great to have you involved in that.
Love
Nothing like putting you on the spot on the radio show.
you've got my commitment, no problem.
So, what do you think, do you have any tips to help people to just, you know, break through their barrier in terms of you know, their resistance to exercising?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I do a lot of public speaking. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking at the Metropolitan Museum of Art this month, doing a series of three health lectures or seminars.
Well, you have to send me information. I will come and hear you.
I definitely will. And that's a great venue. And what I'm talking about with them is our specific programs about eating and exercising, and then
for those of you who don't know where we're talking, this is in New York City.
In New York City, right, the premier hotel, museum. It's a beautiful place. But one of the seminars is titled Mind, Body, Success.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I speak, I say to people, okay, I'm giving you the best tips about exercising and eating, but they're absolutely 100% useless if you don't apply them, right?
Right.
So your question hits home. It hits to the crux of the problem, so to speak. What is it that's going to get people literally up off the couch
mm-hmm.
and exercising and eating smarter?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked this question. I actually met Dr. Oz this past Thursday at a integrative medicine luncheon, awards luncheon, and there was an esteemed panel of experts up there. Dr. Oz was the MC, and Dean Ornish, you probably know him, Eat More, Weigh Less, was one of the panel experts, and Larry Dosser, and all kinds of other gurus. And I asked the question, what is it? I mean, we know you should exercise. We know what we should be eating. We know we should do. We should quit smoking. We should stop eating sugar. We should stop drinking so much. We know all this as experts. But what is it that gets people to actually do it, to listen to us as experts to do it? And
mm-hmm.
and you know what? Unfortunately, no one had the answer.
Yeah,
it's an enigma, because we've got all this great information, but what the heck is it worth if no one's applying it? I'll tell you, Connie, though, in my experiences, what it's been, because this is my quest in life to find the answer to your question, what I've found is people are motivated by two things. You probably know this. One is pain, and one is pleasure. So the threat of pain, of loss, of having a heart attack, of dying early like your father did, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Of losing something, that, experts say, is more motivating to people than the prospect of pleasure. If you do this, you'll lose weight. You'll have more energy. You'll have less incidence of disease, etc. So what I think it is, it's unique for every individual. They have to find out what is the most compelling reason for them to get up off the couch and exercise.
Right. What is that button?
and only they know it. What I do is help them figure that out. But as far as I know, and the research that I've done, and I've done so much and asked so many people, no one knows what it is. And if someone out there listening knows what it is, send me
write to us.
Right. We want to know it, as you know, these people are giving great information now. So can't answer that question except find what it is for you and be compelled by it to do these things.
Well, Peter, we are running out of time, but we have a listener who called in, and we're going to go just a little bit longer just to answer this person's question.
Sure.
So hang tight. Hello, this is Connie. You're on with Peter Kay.
Hi, am I on?
You are. Would you like to ask a question of Peter?
Yeah, my name is Killa Kowalski, and I've been working out a lot. And I tell you what, I've been using a book called LL Cool J's Platinum Workout. Have you heard of this book?
I have.
And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on it. It's definitely kicking my butt, I'll tell you that.
Well,
I understand why that guy's so ripped, I guess. But I wonder what you thought about it. I'm trying to figure out if I'm overtraining or if maybe this is more something for somebody who has more time on their hands, because I know he's got, you know, tons of time being a celeb and all.
Right. It's a great question, and I know about the book, and I know a little bit about it because I make it my business to know about it. I'll give you a generic answer, and you could come to the conclusion on your own. Number one, if you're feeling pain from the workout, it's wrong for you, or it's too much too soon. Pain is the way that the body tells you, you're probably not doing something good for me. There's a difference between pain and soreness, and you have to differentiate and distinguish that. And also, do you actually enjoy the workout? And most importantly, do you see results in a reasonable amount of time, which is in 2 to 3 weeks, you should be seeing some results, and that could be more energy. It could be a smaller waist size, because waist size now is a better indicator of health than weight, most health experts are saying. So those three things, if you keep in mind, and you really have to, there's no perfect workout, so to speak. You have to figure out if it's right for you, and if it's not, move on to something else.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah, I've been using that. Definitely noticed the waist size. I got to go buy new pants, which you would think I would like, but pants are expensive these days, so.
Well, it's a good problem to have, I think.
Yeah, it's not too bad. But yeah, it's a good workout. Like I said, it's just it's been rough. I have noticed results, though, so.
Good for you. Then keep doing it and modify it and make it your own. Bruce Lee always said, take what is useful, discard what is not, and create your own out of that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I try to encourage people to do when they consider, you know, kicking sugar or cutting back. And, you know, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, Connie, should I, you know, kick it totally?
Right.
And or should I go, you know, should I go cold turkey? Should I phase it out? Should I still have some? And I'm like, well, you know your personality and best, you know, figure out what works best for you. So,
right,
you know, it's nice to hear that you have the same approach toward, you know, working out, figuring out what exercises work best for you, what schedule, what time of day.
Right.
One last question. What do you like in terms of a time of day for working out?
Well, you know, I very often find myself working out at about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night only because of my schedule. And I don't mind that. In an ideal world, I would love to work out in the morning and get it done with before my day starts. And very often that does happen. Studies show, Connie, that people who exercise in the morning probably burn more calories during the day. Their metabolism is a little bit higher. They've got more energy. That's the ironic, it's counterintuitive. When you work out, you actually have more energy. People think they're more tired, but that's not true once you get over that.
Right.
So here's the answer basically is do it whenever you can do it, because that's what, at the end of the day, that's what matters, actually doing it. If you could do it in the morning, that's awesome.
Right.
But if your schedule precludes that, then do it whenever you can do it.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm sure I'll be talking with you soon. And it was a fabulous, fabulous show. And I appreciate your taking the time to give your wonderful ideas. For those of you who are listening, Peter, I'm going to post something on my blog, just recapping some of your points, if that's okay with you.
I'd love that. Sure.
Okay. So those of you who either are listening or have friends who, you know, want to listen, you can go to my blog, which is www.sugarshockblog.com, and we will repeat some of the information that Peter gave. Of course, it's better to hear it live from him.
Sure, it always is.
So thank you again so much, Peter. I appreciate your coming on the show.
Connie, my pleasure. Thank you.
So I hope to see the people next week. As I mentioned, I have some exciting shows lined up. Next week, which is the November 20th, I'm going to be having Fly Lady. And we're going to have an absolutely fabulous show with her. And then the week after that, on November 27th, I'm going to be having the relationship guru, Dr. Barbara DeAngelis. So we will have some very exciting shows. And then the week after that is a politically oriented show with Doug Weed. So stay tuned and check out the blog for more details. That's www.sugarshockblog.com. And I will see all of you next week. Have a really sweet week. Thank you. This is Connie Bennett.